Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, all the way from New Zealand, which is a country I'll never be able to leave because I've got cannabis convictions from when I was a teenager. And apparently that means if you've been dealing drugs to your friends at university, like a lot of people do, you're an evil, evil person, and no country will ever let you into their place. So that's great. I get to talk to people from around the world who I'll never be able to meet, never be able to hug, never be able to see in person, never be able to, you know, have sit down at their table for dinner, never be able to see where they live, or where they grew up, anything like that. It's a real piss off, isn't it? I'm not in a good mood today, ladies and gentlemen, so this show is going to be a little bit... Okay, so we've got three guests on the line, and we're going to be talking about some complex stuff, which a lot of you will think is crazy, and unfortunately, you're just going to have to deal with it. So, first person we're going to have to introduce is... Karen McDonald. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Benny. It's great to hear you again. It's been a while since you were on mine as a guest at Dark City. So, and it's Clan Mother Karen. Thanks, Your Grace.
Indeed. My Grace. I should rename myself Joffrey. Yeah. Now, the other person is Amanda Brackett, I think, or Patty Brackett.
Well, it's actually Patty Broussard, but they stole my Skype ID, the three letters did. So I have Amanda Brackett and Patty Brackett as my two alternates on Skype.
Well, everybody needs an
alternate. Brackett's my mother's American... my mother's maiden name is Brackett.
Oh, okay. Somebody once accused me of having an alter ego, and I said, no, it's all ego. And then we have also Sergeant Daniel Brad McBolan III. Is that a pseudonym or a...
Actually, it is a pseudonym. It's a nom de guerre, the name of war.
The name of war. Okay. So,
yeah.
I'm a former sergeant, too, in the Army. So.
Oh, well, there you go. So, today we're going to be talking about CERN. Now, before we get into the topic, I've got a wee bit of a joke about it. So, for those of you in the audience who don't know, CERN is the Large Hadron Collider. It's buried in the ground in the territory of about four different countries, cost them $8 billion to build, and they wanted to build this puppy so that they could smash two particles together really, really fast in order to find out what kind of matter the universe started out with. And their experiment had a few risks to it, including possibly opening portals to another dimension and allowing demons to pour through, and also possibly creating a black hole and sucking the entire Earth into it and killing everybody. So they decided, fuck it, let's go ahead with it. And they did manage to crash two particles together at near light speed, and they did in fact explode and create a new kind of matter that appeared for only a split second and then disappeared and had no benefit of any kind. So they called it doesn't matter. Now, back to the show.
It doesn't matter.
Well, one of the things you got to understand is the whole premise that they have of how the universe was created is bogus to start with.
Exactly. And it was started
off... Big Bang Theory is...
The Big Bang Theory was actually created by... it was created by the Catholic Church, who reckoned it was Adam and Eve. Now, we get back into the...
the Adam and Eve were the first prototypes created by the Anunnaki. But I'm sorry, we were around more than 15 million years before that.
All right. Now, so I don't understand exactly what you guys are going to be talking about today. I mean, I've tried to have a conversation with you about it before the show. I've tried to read what you've sent me, and it's just like, whew, and that doesn't happen to me very often. In fact, in 5 years of radio, it's never happened to me. So, could we please try to explain for myself and the audience just a little bit about CERN, what it actually is, and the topic that we're going to be discussing today? Who would like to start?
You want me to start?
I'd like maybe Patty to start that, because Patty also comes from a Mi'kmaq tribal elder position and also is a former sergeant that set up the NASA communications and was part of the American Freedom Team. So Patty's got a vast amount of experience. So Patty and myself and Dan were witnesses to this, Vinny. And also, just to let you know, we want to discuss some of the health solutions, you know, for this, because it's not just CERN. They've set up another one called Karen Rianne's, which is in New Zealand, but we found hundreds of them, University of Saskatchewan, and virtually almost every city affecting people with this sort of plasma artificial intelligence. And Patty will go a lot into that, but we've been able to actually see what happened in November compared to right now. But we've got lots of solutions, and that's why I'm set up actually in a sort of a protected embassy south of Ottawa right now. And what we can do this time, some of the stuff too, from Keshi to also some implants they've been using for women and part of the secret space program. So it all kind of ties together. So I'm going to let Patty go with some of that, if that's all right.
Okay.
Go for your life.
Point blank. First off, before we go anywhere, every single one of these cyclotrons, no matter how big they are, generate antimatter.
Sorry. A cyclotron? Is that the Hadron Collider
anything
thingy?
These,
the actual circle?
Magnetically accelerates in a circle any kind of matter at all to form a collision. They're all called cyclotrons.
Okay.
That's the overall term for all of these different... I mean, they use different types of matter and different processes to get different types of collisions. So that's where you get your different labels they put on them, but they're all cyclotrons.
Right, and working as a global network, they call them synchrotrons because they're all synchronized together.
Together via network. That's what the whole cloud network was about, actually. But most people don't even understand that. All the scientists are the ones who created what was back then called the Watts lines, which is the precursor for the internet. And the internet was actually not designed for people. It was designed for this group.
Well, see, I thought a cyclotron was the bad guy in the next Transformers movie, but all right, moving on.
Yes, I mean, they use name commonalities on all kinds of stuff. Here's the thing. They all create antimatter, and antimatter is really bad news. Not only from a nuclear bomb, you know, 100 times exponentially greater than a nuclear explosion if you take matter and antimatter and throw it together. If you take antimatter and contain it magnetically so it doesn't touch anything, and you take that around to people, it scrambles them up. And that is one of the tools they're using to cause these false flag events at colleges and schools and things of that nature.
Sorry, what false flag events?
Most of all, your shootings, even the Paris thing, that was actually to get rid of some cops who were actually killed 4 hours before the main event and dragged into that building and killed. And having some antimatter handy, magnetically contained in that zone, makes everybody go berserk over panic.
And how do you know that? Where's the evidence?
In addition with scalar technology, they can basically give overall control. I mean, that's what they do with 911. I've got actual satellite pictures. You can actually see the scalar waves. They were using a conjunction for that, so that what they put out on the news, everybody believed it.
I didn't believe it.
No, I didn't either. But I'm one of those folks that are kind of shielded from that technology, which is why I've always been other than my time in the Army, I've been mostly a 2 or 3 step removed contractor for all these government places I did work for. They would never hire me directly, but they wanted my expertise on a lot of stuff, which is why I was in, you know, great depth on a lot of these programs.
What programs? Like, we've got to try to define things, you know, solidify, like from point A to point B to C to D, because you're jumping all over the place and you're just confusing me.
In the Army, I was air defense. So, you know, I had to be introduced to ET. When I worked at Polaris, I was building anti-ET weapon systems. That's what I mean by down the rabbit hole. I've been on the inside of a lot of different programs. And I have the hard data and the files and stuff that I've pulled from these programs to document it.
Well, sure, but however, we're on radio and we're unable to see said documents and things of that nature. So what I need is, you know, a story, you know, something that makes sense, that doesn't jump all over the place, mention about 20 different topics, not expand on any of them. So unless people are actually aware of all said 20 topics before you've even mentioned them, you mentioning them only provides confusion rather than a solidification of those ideas. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you don't really have to understand other than the explosive content. I don't even want to get off on the other programs, what they're using the antimatter for. I'm trying to get the point out. These things are dangerous. They're more dangerous than a nuclear bomb.
So they've got a
side product of what every single one of these makes when you make those collisions.
So they've got antimatter and it makes people go crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. And
You're an energy being, and you're putting frequencies and whatnot into your brain, into your DNA that is not originally a part of this level of creation, effectively.
I don't know what you're saying.
They're creating new particles that don't exist in all of creation, not just the Milky Way, but all of this level of creation, what they call Laniakea, which Milky Way is just one of millions of galaxies in, they're creating particles here that don't exist anywhere.
And
the whole fake bit about, you know, the Big Bang and the creation of the universe is garbage. They're trying to create portals. And that, the antimatter is a side effect. And they use that as a weapon.
Well, in what way?
To screw up humans, basically.
No, but how does that actually work? So they use it as a weapon, and it, quote, screws up humans. Exactly. In what way are they using it? When did they use it? Could you, like, define a single time when it's actually happened?
Pretty much any time you've had a riot. Think about it. What happens during a riot? Those people actually destroy their own stuff and their neighbor's stuff. They do not actually do any damage against the actual point of why they're upset.
Well, that's called being a provocateur and making protesters look bad so that the government can crack down on them, and it's a quest of free speech. Yeah. But I don't think any antimatter needs to be involved in order for that to happen. You know, you just send in a person who's a dick, who's getting paid, who's on the payroll, and get him to stir up trouble. It's what the word provocateur means, and I have serious doubts that...
Now because of the rise in the Schumann frequency, it's getting really difficult to cause people to do that now.
Yeah, back in the day of Montauk, it was easy to do because they were working with a five-stepping frequency hopping and a SAGE radar. It was a piece of cake. But today, with the humans waking up, they've got to use the new improved methods and antimatter and a containment along with the frequency hopping technique. So the old Montauk, we've got ourselves a CERN, is the new Montauk.
Okay, so let me just see if I can get this into a bubble for us. So CERN's there, it runs a thingy, and then produces a little bit of antimatter, which they put in a little device that has a magnetic sealant. Then they take that magnetic sealant off in a particular area where they want everybody to go crazy. Everybody apart from the people who are like me, who aren't retarded or are shielded from technology and stuff like that, don't go crazy. But everybody else in the area does go crazy, and a whole bunch of people get killed. It doesn't make any sense.
It creates panic. For no apparent reason. And in conjunction with scalar technology, you can make a kid who is not violent pick up a gun and go and start shooting all his classmates.
Well, you can do that now just by giving them Prozac and waiting a little while. And making sure that their school isn't a gun ban zone.
But this is a more direct scientific way of actually creating on-demand, you know, voice of God,
Yeah, talking right into their skull.
Yeah, right into their skull.
Well, I've heard this
voice right in your head.
I've heard this from, but that's harp technology. I mean, even Jesse Ventura did that. He went to
that's scalar. That's scalar technology.
Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. He went to the HAARP facility and all their cameras like malfunctioned simultaneously. All of a sudden they're like, whoa, that's really freaky. And they were talking to a dude who apparently knew a lot about it. And he had these two pads connected to a device, and he put the pads on Jesse's neck, and Jesse could hear music playing in his head. Is that what we're talking about here?
But only at a distance. What you're talking about is the Neurophone by Patrick Flanagan. That's called the Neurophone.
That's old tech.
Yeah, that's really ancient.
You actually have to have somebody on site with a piece of equipment to use that.
Yeah.
Scalar technology is global, and you can do it from anywhere.
Well, precisely how? What is
only gave a small segment of the technology that is involved with Scalar to every single government on the planet, figuring this way nobody could misuse this because they would have to all get together to put it to use, and that way hopefully it would only get used for good things. Because as with everything, you can use it for good and you can use it for evil.
Okay, so what's the actual process in this? I mean, could you explain the science behind this technology, how it actually affects the human brain in order to make somebody go crazy?
Your body communicates with every cell on in it using a three-way frequency. And it's 1.5, 4.7, and 7.6. They can actually take that over remotely. And they use the gap in between the ionosphere. The signal travels at 1.5 times the speed of light, and you can do around the globe from one location targeted. Or everybody. Or use it in conjunction with HAARP to turn your weather into a weapon. Which is what they've been doing to Peru.
See, that doesn't...
Peru went and signed on to China with the yen instead of going with the dollar, so they're punishing them.
But again, the science behind how it actually affects someone, are you able to explain that or not?
I could give you documents. I am not a scalar technologist. And basically the elites, like I said, were given portions of it, but because the New World Order is basically behind everybody now, they got the whole of that technology to put it to use. Tesla deliberately hid that for a reason.
So you don't know how it works?
I don't know all the ins and outs. I know what they're using it for from hidden documents of what they're using it for. The actual science behind it, no. I don't play with that.
No? Okay. So you don't know how it actually affects people then?
I know why it affects people. I don't know exactly how they set it up to make it work.
Okay. So it doesn't affect the brain like... The body's not chemical, it's electrical. And it would make sense that you're capable of manipulating the electrical pulses in the air via some kind of device in order to influence people's behavior. It makes sense that you can send out signals on a particular hertz frequency that is a similar frequency by which the brain actually communicates, hence voices in your head. So... And also understand that people are currently being saturated by EMF, EMR, wireless radiation sources, which have been scientifically proven to make people more aggressive, less comfortable, etc., etc. So this is something that's essentially...
Those are... There's multiple levels. If you think of them as different frequency ranges, like different radio stations, the technology with your cell phones and your wireless internet... That interferes with Gaia's direct communication link in and out at the DNA level. So, I mean, these are different technologies to hit you in different formats.
Now, for those of you who are confused about it hitting you on a DNA level, just remember that your DNA code is done in a coil, much like an old radio wire would be, all done in a coil because it accelerates the frequency and the thing through that. So it's actually a fractal antenna that can pick up and send and receive signals.
Just like what Keshi's building.
Those are
scalar Tesla receivers.
And also, we were talking about CERN as well. So how does this actually tie into CERN? I mean, they're creating this dark matter. Is it dark matter? Is it scalar? Is kind of thing? Because I'm trying to just define the exact kind of ceiling and parameters and walls here so that I can kind of focus.
Dark matter is the very force of energy that is everywhere, literally. It is the energy that holds atoms spinning around and holds your body together and... your conscious will designs the pattern, but that dark energy powers everything. It powers gravity. It holds your body together. It holds all matter together in this level of reality.
It's plasma.
That is not antimatter.
I meant antimatter. But yeah,
it's totally separate.
Yeah, yeah. So how does it actually work in here? Because we still don't know the science behind how it's created. Still don't know the science behind how it actually affects people. Still don't know why they choose to use it in some areas and not others. I mean, can you define any of this?
I think I can address that from a personal experience. If it's okay with you, Patty.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, in 1989, as we were preparing for the Desert Shield to go into Iraq, we basically had helicopters with these scalar weaponries that included microwave. And what we would do is when we ran up against the Iraqi Red Brigade or Red Guard, they were in slit trenches. And what we would do is run the helicopters over at first, and we would broadcast a microwave, which this microwave transmission was from computer to skull telepathy. It was artificial telepathy. We would put the voice of Allah, and we would say, "This is Allah speaking to you." And on that microwave, we would put a 5-step frequency hopping technique that would basically stir a very deep emotional stimulation in the human brain. And these men came out. Now, these are hardened, seasoned fighters that fought against Iran for 8 years. And these men would come out with no weapons, their hands above their head, weeping because they heard the voice of Allah. And so this is how it's done. And this is how we did it in 1990.
Initially, the first effect is you're activating things like adrenaline, the fight or flight reflex. And then when you hit that with them at their base hindbrain with the voice of Allah thing, they just give up. You know, drop their weapons, hands in the air, and, you know.
Well, it's,
yeah, and this is all done from helicopters overhead. Now, the folks that it did not work on were in these 1,000-men slit trenches, and we just drove over them with huge earth movers, and the infantry moved behind them and basically pushed tons and tons and tons of desert sand and buried these people in slit trenches. My first encounter with that is seeing 8 1,000-men slit trenches. And people would walk out with no weapon, and they would walk forward. Those who did not choose to walk out were buried by the earth movers, and of course the infantry would move in behind and mop up and shoot anybody trying to get out of claw their way out of the sand.
And beyond that, we were using depleted uranium rounds in all our weapons. So then you're attacking them at the DNA level, breaking their DNA. And the bunker busters, the way they did those, that's like a 3-stage deal. And the head of that is uranium. That's how you got the ones underground that you couldn't hit with the other technologies.
Right, so what we could get, we got. And the ones we couldn't get, we reached out and touched them with the bunker busters. And so we had a whole system. And since that time, many, many years ago, we have compiled the technology from the old Montauk up there at Camp Hero. We've combined time travel that CERN discovered in 2000. We've discovered mind control, weather modification. We've combined it into one classical machine with several components. Alice. Yeah.
Using your portals to jump through time. If they manage to do something to damage you really, really bad, you can send a group backwards, take that out before it ever happened, and undo it.
Right. And so Alice, when we look at the components of the Large Hadron Collider, Alice's job is to jump back and forth between January 1st, 1970 at 0100 hours Zulu, between there and January 1st, 2024, to gather up the petabits of information that go on in a human's mind in the past in order to, and look in the future at their, they use looking glass. It's called looking glass technology. You dial in, you see what the reaction are, you see who the troublemakers are, and then Alice jumps back and hands off the information to PPAI. PPAI brings on Atlas, which basically takes the atmosphere. It has a magnetic field 100 times stronger than the core of the Earth itself. And it reaches up and it takes a hydrogen hyperfine transition line, which all your basic memories from day to day, your long-term memory storage is there. And it's in three places, but that's the big one. And they take it and they smash it down on your head and try to change your memories of the past so that they can manipulate your future and how you choose to do what you choose to do. Humankind, trying to do this to humankind has been one of the greatest difficulties that CERN has encountered, because there are those of us that, like you say, we're retarded. I've had two traumatic brain injuries. So, yeah, I'm not too bright. But the thing is the technology is not working on me like it doesn't work on you, Benny. It's not working.
As the human frequency goes up, it fails. Yeah. Back in December 21st, 2012, the Looking Glass program, the chance of them getting what they wanted was at 24%. Just before Looking Glass died, it dropped to 17%. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah, they only get
the right way. They're not going to get what they want.
Yeah, they only get a partial look. And so then basically what happens is they begin the process of in CMS to basically smash the atoms together, trying to create a coherent blue beam. It's the technical name for it is a PPAI program called Oracle Golden Gate. And that is trying to build a macro singularity, a super big wormhole, an Einstein-Rosen bridge. Vinny, you'll have to tell me which one of these terms you comprehend.
Well, I heard that the Einstein-Rosen bridge is a lot cheaper to travel across than an Eckhart Tolle bridge.
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. The toll will put you in the poorhouse.
One of the issues is gate technology that we currently have only works inside the Sol system, other than the gate in our sun. Now, the Council of 12 parked a big gas giant at the gate at our sun and stopped the Dracos being able to use it. That's why the really, really hard push is on for them with CERN, the big one. They know it works because at the other one, the collider in New York, that has the power. They've already done these experiments because that one, the
Brookhaven,
that's where they've been controlling the time stepping from. But the problem is that one is too small, and it doesn't even take a lot of real estate. What they did is they stacked two tubes so they can run in, the particles in opposite directions, spin them up multiple times to get them up to the speed before colliding them. And that thing is too small. I mean, a person can't stand up in that. It's too small. But it does. They have played with the energy levels to create small holes, but not big enough for beings to step through or bring ships through. That was the whole purpose behind the new CERN, the really big one. That's to create a portal you can put people and ships through.
An example of that actually took place in Norway back in 2012, where from various different locations, you see the spiral open up, and it creates this. Now, Patty did the science on this and showed how big this macro singularity was. But at different angles in Norway and Sweden, you could literally see Mimas, one of the moons of Saturn, through the wormhole, through the Einstein-Rosen bridge. But they could not keep it stable. They need about 38 minutes of stability before you can bring a large ship through. If it collapses, then it annihilates everyone inside there. The event horizon just eats them up.
But again, that's in the system, and that uses the technology behind that is phase conjugation. And you have direct links that in between all the planets, you can phase conjugate and do your local small holes like that. That's not an actual Rosen bridge. Rosen bridge, you can put it anywhere out in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
What they want to bring in more support troops. They also want to use it to unlock the gate where all of the rowdy folks that were playing gods here on this planet before the Noah's flood. The 12 races that provided seeds to Gaia to make the human race came here, cleaned them all out, took the worst of them, and imprisoned them in top Saturn. That is the hex there. They're also trying to use CERN to break the lock on that and let those folks loose.
You told me before that it was basically the elites are trying to bring non-human entities here from another dimension.
Yep.
All right. What entities? And what is their intention?
There was, like I said before, when the Lemurians and Martians broke our space-time continuum, landed and set up Atlantis, every class, until it gets to level 5 energy and graduates out into space, every classroom world is in a containment. It's isolated to keep other influence out. Now, when that happened, they set up Atlantis, we were no longer in containment. We had everybody and his brother here. Playing gods. That was the whole, the Noah's flood thing was the end result to get rid of the rest of the hybridized riffraff after they took the worst of them and turned Saturn, which is the original sun of this system, into a prison. That's what that hex is. It's like the lock on the prison door.
It's a magnetically bottled prison at the North Pole of Saturn.
They want to let them back out.
And we don't want them here. And the only way to open it is to gate through it using a wormhole.
Yeah.
And
they had one partially materialized last year. He didn't go solid, but they almost got one of them out. They got video of him in the tunnel at CERN. That's why they keep pushing more and more energy into CERN.
But
they were playing with the little one, not the big one. They were like testing out all the light workers and what we could do to damage their collider on the little one.
Now, what kind of vessels are they using to go through these wormholes? I mean, are they picking up like say an ocean ship that's just kind of like sitting there in a secret dock or something like that, and it just disappears like in the Philadelphia experiment and then appears somewhere else or?
That was the precursor stuff to the time-stepping and the alternate, the parallel Earth's gate technology.
So what kind of vessels?
Got shut down hard.
So what kind of vessels are they using?
We've had spaceships since the 1940s. The TR-3B, which we settled Mars, was done in 1947. The little triangle ones, we've had that. The Nazis had the round saucer ones prior to that. The Greys, I've got pictures of Hitler with Greys, and they gave him the saucer technology. But you got to understand, these folks, we have 40 EQ races that ever since the Martian Lemurians landed us on us and did the Atlantis thing, we've had more than 40 races of ETs dug into this planet long term.
Apparently,
the destruction of Babylon, the Tower of Babel, the destruction of that was two of the Dracos brothers fighting over who was going to control Earth for the next little while, and one of them tossed a thermonuke at the other. So even nuclear technology isn't new. That's what destroyed the Tower of Babel. And the glass crater is still there. And the whole bunch of tech was left behind because that was so nasty dirty that nobody could go near it, and everybody had to evacuate out. That was also part of what Desert Shield and Desert Storm and all that was about, was going back there because now it was safe to go in there and dig up and retrieve all that ET tech.
And we called it artifacts, but the thing is, yeah. is it was actually advanced alien technology
What went down with that, every museum gets raided. And all the gold, of course, gets stolen. But the key thing is, was going after the artifacts. That was what that was.
That was indeed the first thing that the U.S. One of the first things that the U.S. military actually did entering Baghdad is go straight to the museum and confiscate a whole bunch of things from it.
Mm-hmm. I know, I was there.
One of the things I might add to, if I may.
I was part of the freedom team. I was there.
Part of the artifacts. Part of the interesting thing that Patty can also do is that there was an artifact called, it was a star mapping. And part of the star mapping also came in with women or the tribes, as Patty will talk about, that were set down on this planet to protect it. And they were known as, whether the angels, but known as the clan mothers. And there was an actual contract put into place, which ended before 2012. And these star maps or stargates, which is part of my seal as well, goes way back before 460, but way back to the creator that's handed down and also put in the DNA as part of the mitochondrial DNA. One of the things that is, as we have the gift of discernment, rather than being concerned about it, is that one of the things is that there's a new one. Now, we have many. I've been at one actually myself, Benny. I don't know if you know the University of Saskatchewan, but I grew up there doing natural health and stuff there with my children. And I knew a lot about the MK Ultra project and stuff they had gone through, and I did as well, and the molestation and the satanic kind of rings there. The University of Saskatchewan I went into a few months ago is a miniature synchrotron. And the damage that's going on, they're actually putting aluminum and wrapping things up, like with literally tin foil in there that's off-gassing radioactive material. One of the things now that Patty brought to my attention a couple of days ago is there's a new one going into like New Zealand. And I know a few people down there, and we've met and talked before too, but the new one's called Karen Rianne's. And this one is supposed to be 200,000 times, not one or two, 200,000 times faster than even CERN's supposed to be. And so this is something they've set up, and again, with the acronyms being the Kiwi Advanced Research and Education Network. And also the Rianne's is for the Research and Education of Advanced Network New Zealand. They've got multiple sites, and Patty's documented this quite well, and as Dan. But that's one of the things that they're setting up already from what we saw in November till now. They literally have got basically, if you want to say, morgues, and having been a nurse for 15 years in neonatal intensive care, the portable, almost like NATO or triage things that are being set up. So now that we've, come to this attention, these are very, as Dan said, he goes, this is lethal. And it's also being aimed, some of the things, at me. It's also to be sort of what they call, they've got different things that have got chips in them, jewels and implant transmitters, which is why I had a concern, because I just talked with Lisa today and different people that were involved, Dr. Cornelius Van Dorp and stuff that was involved with Keshi. If these are also miniature scalar transmitters, the amount of damage that could be done not only to the people globally, but right to where you are, and that was the reason, is because, as we love each other as brothers and sisters in peace, it's about global peace on this planet, and they're violating all the covenants and treaties here. One of the interesting things just on the Kesh thing, again, trying to do it with a binary system, which is not a trinary one, is that it's creating a duality, but it's tapping in people's emotions. And I know when they came here and brought me one of the sort of prototypes of this Kesh pen, all I had to do is break it, and it actually interfaces with the plasma in your computers, with your thoughts, as their transmitters, and it crashed this. And there's no coincidence why when we make different things, like on the Healing Circle Network, we just did a couple interviews there, and with Alfred, they literally have like banned or taken out or removed my particular talkings to do with clan mothers and going back to tribal law, just like I know you were shut down at YouTube for quite some time as well. We're getting targeted as well that way. Yeah, well, and right now I've got less than, I think, 0.1 seconds.
I'm not sure that there was any. I'm not sure if there's any exotic technology being involved when I got my YouTube channel taken down. It's been taken down a total of twice in 2 years. First time because I posted a video exposing the Prime Sinister on the Prime Sinister's page about 100 times posting it. So somebody reported it and I got my channel taken down for 2 months. And the second the second time was when I posted a number of videos exposing a psychopathic criminal scumbag in the truth movement named Pete Santilli, who then filed 7 false copyright complaints and got my channel taken down. So don't think there was anything exotic going on. It's just scumbaggery.
Let's take it back to basics that everybody can understand when put in the right context. The Spanish Inquisition, the witch trials, Salem, all of that was to kill both tribe and anybody who was rebuilding their third spiral. In other words, getting out from under their ability to control. That's what all that was about, and it's still about today.
All right, I think I'm actually only just starting to get it. So, aliens came here ages ago. They've been using nukes and advanced technology. There's plenty of archaeological evidence to support that. I get that. We've had space travel even Project Pegasus in the 70s, for example, with the chronovisors being able to see things in the future and the past and be able to change things, have expectations for these things happening. The ability to travel to other dimensions, other planets, things like that's already been discussed in Andy Bishago's work on Project Pegasus. However, that was a program in the 70s, and it was already up and running well before then, so there could have quite easily been other, much more covert technologies available at that point. In terms of alien technology being utilized, by Hitler, we have a statement from Wernher von Braun himself, who later became the head of NASA, who was also, I think he was responsible for the building of the V2 rockets, the ones that were capable of shooting from Germany to England. He said, "I always wanted to go to the moon, and those rockets, they just landed on the wrong planet." He said,
"That was all the dog and pony show."
He said, quote, "We came up with a lot of technology during World War II, but we had help." Right? And he was referring to off-world entities when he does that. So let's say there's also the secret societies that are behind this. We know that there's a lot of different bloodline ties to people who are even members of intelligence agencies. The MKUltra program is often children of intel families and things of that nature. So it's managed to keep itself relatively secret for the 21st century, not with too much difficulty, due to compartmentalization. And what's happening now is they have these marketing protocols for CERN and things like that. "Oh, we're just trying to create a particle that'll tell us how the universe started, that's all." And then, of course, you've got to say, "Well, actually, you guys, that sounds like a really, really, really just small surface sort of use for this kind of thing. And you're probably doing something else and creating antimatter, as you call it, being able to weaponize space, be able to go to different planets, send resources, materials, even soldiers, or perhaps a lot of the dark occultists and things like that who are involved with all these secret societies that are indeed inducted into a lot of these programs want something else to come back to help them out and or rule the planet. That's essentially what we're talking about here, isn't it?
There's a big missing key to that, though, and that is the fact of just exactly what we as a species are as created by Gaia. We are a commodity because there are none others like us out there in the galaxy. Our DNA, when it in its original form, triple spiral, we can send our mind energy down it and step between space-time and time-space without any hardware.
Okay.
We are a commodity. They are selling human DNA to other species out there in the galaxy as a commodity.
Yeah, we are the most valuable commodity across the universe because we have this metagene factor, this manifestation gene, the God gene, whatever you want to call it, we're the only ones that have it. And that's what they're fighting over right now, is because this predatory, pathogenic artificial intelligence has taken over everything. And
the fact of our uplink that goes up to the fifth level up the tree of life, which is outside the time stream.
That's
what the Rakos want to hijack.
I think what Maran Tivakoli from the Keshe Foundation told me is that the particle that they found, the quote-unquote God particle, is a particle that can only be found inside the human body, right? They artificially created something that they already have inside them and don't need to have outside them at all, because you are the God particle, son.
Right.
With your DNA created, with your DNA assembled correctly and the right energy going down, it's there in the center of the three poles.
So this explains why the aliens have actually been interested. You know, they didn't just come here on holiday and crash land and go, fuck, it's like Gilligan's Island in here, man. There's all these hominid cunts running around. Dude, we need to mess up their DNA and make some slaves, bro. That'd be a really good idea.
The solid ray lost their ability to reproduce.
Hey, okay? Gorax, have you got a test tube, bro? I need to create some slaves.
That is why they made the deal with Hitler and gave Hitler the saucer technology in exchange for being able to grab humans and make their own
Eisenhower made
lab program to regain the ability to reproduce. Now, the thing about the Solid Rays is their mental ability is so strong. It's their offensive weapon. It's their defensive weapon. And it's how they control all their ships. Their ships don't have any control panels. They use their brain to run them. That signal actually overwrote their DNA, and they lost their reproductive organs. Now, we are a commodity because, guess what? If they make a hybrid with them and us to gain back that ability to reproduce, they don't have to give up their weapon.
Yeah, and that's a very dangerous thing to let them have, because they're not. Now, Patty believes that Solid Ray are
I give them a single get-out-of-jail-free card is what I call it, because when push comes to shove, they've made a deal. I know they've done bad things to you, Dan, but you didn't know who they were. So, you have an antagonistic relationship.
Yes, it's an on and off again type. It's like I will not allow them to come within 25 miles of my body. If they do, they get sent somewhere else, and I won't go into that. But they get vaporized.
Here's the key to
It's a
because they're all clones.
So it's a love hate exterminate relationship.
Yeah. Your uplink.
Go ahead.
Every fifth level being that has come down here for class to the Milky Way galaxy or any other galaxy, your uplink is at your heart. It's like a tether to your true self outside the time stream. The Dracos have the technology to disconnect that tether from one physical body and plug it into another. That is the deal that the Solid Rays have with the Dracos, because the Solid Ray are all clones. And when one clone wears out, they've already grown themselves a new one, and they need the Dracos to unplug that, plug it into the next one. But the Dracos need low-frequency RH negative or RH null people for their program, whereas the Solid Ray need RH positive, fully intact, as much as possible, humans for theirs. So a lot of times the Solid Rays are working in direct contradiction with the Dracos whenever they can to help us, because the very people that the Dracos want to kill off are the people that the Solid Ray need.
Yeah, and then that's where they came and started playing with genetics, and that's how I came about. And it was really an unpleasant embedding into a military family. It was very unpleasant.
Now, you remember the humming gray boxes that were put on the coast in California and England to stop the tsunamis? Those were put there by the grays, the Solid Rays. As were, once the word came down from the Council of 12, no nuclear World War III, the Solid Rays went around and removed all the fissionables from all the warheads. So if you're worried about having a nuclear World War III, you can forget it, because it can't happen anymore.
Yeah, that's why North Korea's little big hydrogen bomb went poof.
I didn't even hear
that. They put that out as a fear tactic, because the Archons feed off that low frequency energy created by fear, anger, and hate. You're making your by moving into that realm of thought, you become food for the Archons and the Black Goo. They feed off that, as well as dead bodies from wars and battles and everything. The tall whites, grays as they call them, they eat humans like cattle. So you're a food source.
Andrew,
and those are the ones.
I think it was Andrew Brashago who told me that most of the alien races, if not all of them, were like vegetarian or something, and they liked what was it? Strawberry ice cream, I think, was their favorite food.
Yeah, well, they tell a lot of people a lot of different things, and it's like if you confuse the issue and then you make everything that they know compartmented, then you can keep them a slave.
Oh, can I make a point here? I want to make a point here because
there's 40 races dug in here. So which aliens are you talking about? There are some that are just vegetarians. Okay. Not all carnivores, but
I wanted to make a point here about the I think it was the president of the United States. I forget which one. It might have been World War II. Who was it? Wasn't Eisenhower at World War II? Teddy Roosevelt, maybe? Truman. Maybe? Apparently there was a treaty signed between the U.S. government and the Greys for harvesting rights of the U.S. population. And then immediately after that, the amount of abductions being reported in the United States started skyrocketing, and people were being taken all over the place. And I think annually there's something like 20,000 some odd UFO abductions reported by people, and almost all of those reports come out of the United States.
Well, something really traumatic happened during that time period, which came to light, which Philip, Phil, you know, Schneider.
Prince Philip?
No.
Oh, Phil Schneider.
He was a
There were some illegal programs going on that we accidentally stumbled across. In other words, there were races like the tall whites who we made treaties with, and they were doing stuff that went against that treaty in secret. They dug in and made their own bases and everything. When that came to light, when we stumbled across the precursor of Dulce Base, these folks were just violating treaties left and right. So when we cleaned that nest out, that caused the fact that, you know, because they eat us, abductions went way through the roof after that.
Okay. Well, we have one more hour to try and get to the bottom of this one. And we also wanted to get into the topic, which was, in fact, the original concern that I was trying to get into was what happened at CERN in mid-November. Apparently, there was some kind of sabotage on behalf of the people that are trying to save the planet as opposed to those who want to turn them over to alien scum. So we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and it's been listener-supported for good 5 years that I've been running this show, ever since 2010. And also, I wanted to just remind people that because it is listener-supported, if you are enjoying it and don't even so much as send me a dollar, you have obligations, okay? You can sit down and you can watch television or mainstream radio, and they'll be clogged up with advertisements and everything like that because they've got bills to pay, they've got a scaly satanic penis to suck, and they need money. All right, they need money. Lots of, there's just no choice when you're completely compromised and you can't tell the truth, because if you do, you will have your money supply taken away from you. The obligation on the audience is if you want the truth, you have to give something, right? Even if it's just sharing a show around, even if it's recommending it to somebody, even if it's donating a dollar or a dollar a month, anything you do, just contribute in some way, shape, or form. Be a part of it. Don't just sit back and say, oh, don't worry, it'll always be there forever, because it won't. I can guarantee you that if people stop donating all for a month, you know, I'd be dead, you know. Stress would just freaking kill me. from not being able to pay my bills. And there are people all over the world dying as we speak from stress-related illness that is related 100% to their financial situation. If you are part of those people who are suffering, this show might actually help you. Just by listening to it, having a few laughs, that kind of thing. It makes you feel better to know that the things that you think aren't crazy, but just because, oh, they're not being representative in mainstream media. So please, I want to implore people, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, or just Google Vinnie Eastwood and go to my website. There are Kiwi Bank details on there for the New Zealand listeners, and PayPal for those of you who live in the USSA, the great communist republic. Been taken over by reptilian scum. All right, now my very special guests joining me back are, oh my god, it wasn't Patty Brackett, was it? Because it's really confusing with this alternative.
It's Patty Broussard. My Skype ID is Patty Brackett, but it's Patty Broussard.
Patty Broussard. Okay. All right, the Patty Broussard facade. And we also have Karen McDonald from Dark City Radio and Sergeant Daniel Brad McBolin III, US Air Force, or just Dave. All right, so we've got so much of this stuff, and it is really confusing for people because, you know, you're just lucky that you're doing this interview with me, because I've got, like, all sorts of, like, research that I've done in ancient archaeology and aliens and ufology and secret societies and censored technology and things like that. So, when you guys first tried to explain this for me, you noticed, I was pretty freaking confused by the whole thing, which, for me, it doesn't happen.
I have a method to put it into a really straightforward, simple box that people can this. The really easiest way to look at this is the whole quantum mechanics, the Schrodinger's cat thing. We as a species, as Gaia built us, we affect everything we observe. Point blank. And most people don't even realize, like, the speed of light. Guess what? They take the measurements from everywhere around the globe, and then they average them together, because everybody that does the experiment and influences it, changes the result. So they average it. There is no true speed of light. We as beings manifest everything just by observing it. The whole thing with CERN, the reason why it went down, the light workers were manifesting goo in the path of the colliding stuff in it. Now, 2 weeks before this major event, because of this, they couldn't get the experience to work the way they wanted it. So they shut it down for 2 days. They drilled two holes in the collision chamber. They put a vacuum on one side, an extra vacuum, and a little thing that put an inert gas that wouldn't fluoresce and form a plasma when they're throwing stuff down the tube, to basically push the goo out of the way. That broke because that created a weakness in the magnetic field on either side. When they started going to heavy energy, it broke the chamber. Now, this was during the Paris event. They left a intern in charge running the programs, but his login did not give him the authority to shut the thing down. So by the time he called a supervisor in who did have the authority to shut it down, all havoc had wreaked. You know, it had cut the thing up. When you start losing collimator beams, because it's a circle, collimators keep the particles running down the center of a round tube, which goes in a circle. Without collimators, it doesn't go around the corner. It started cutting out into the ground. That's basically what happened. And by the time the boss came in, even the a lot of the screens, which give them the data they need to know what's going on, it not only took the system down, the energy backfed into the computers and blew the computers that monitored those portions of it, blew them out. In the end, the plasma AI, the whole computer system went down. That's what happened. And the key thing about this is, it's proof positive that people, as designed by Gaia originally, can make changes, but you got to do it yourself. This crisis we have is not something that somebody's going to come along and help you out of. This is something we have to do as a species ourselves. Wake up, put away this garbage that they're throwing out there and move on and go back to origins. The way, because before all these groups came along, we managed ourselves fine without any governments. None. Governments, or I should say politics and religion, was brought here as a concept by the Anunnaki. And everybody picked up that and ran with it and created their own little microcosm using that premise. But it's bogus. And the fact that the light workers could manifest goo in the middle of that thing without being anywhere around the globe, that's proof positive of that fact.
That's exactly what we did. We manifested particular spectrum that the beams could not penetrate, and the CERN scientists called them unidentified falling objects. Strange way to identify something as an unidentified falling objects. And so we reconfigured the pattern, and then they became unidentified floating objects because there's no way they could get the vacuum to pull the stuff out. And as a result, everything was compromised because they drilled those holes in there and put a vacuum to pull out what we put in. And it compromised the whole system. The entire thing melted down. Thousands of people died 5 miles away from the ring in Geneva. And it was just an awful, awful thing that happened.
What you got to understand, everything in that tube, is when they're throwing stuff down, is at a vacuum. If you put air in there, it's like the space shuttle coming in. I mean, when it comes in at Mach 25, you get an actual plasma wave in front of it that will melt things. That's what happens if you put air in that tube. When they're throwing stuff down it, you get a plasma that starts cutting things. That's how it got ate. That's how it cut through the pipe, and they had the geyser coming up in the city because it drilled through the ground. Once they lost the collimator beams, it went right out through the side instead of going around the circle, cut into the ground. Some of it came up right up through the ground, through the hospital. Other went out and cut that pipe that went to the cooling,
the secondary cooling system.
Yeah, that normally is out in the lake. They cut the pipe underground in the city, and it came right out of the ground.
And it was blowing through buildings. You had superheated steam. You had radioactivity. Radioisotopes coming out and poisoning people and those who weren't scalded to death instantly, they died weeks later. And now we're 2 months down the road, 3 months down the road, and now you have temporary morgues trying to contain the people or store the bodies. They ran out of room, and so now they put up these red or pinkish tents. And it's now a temporary morgue because people are dying by the thousands. They're just dropping dead. And none of the mainstream media will cover this. And we have proof. We have pictures. Patty recorded it early this morning.
Well, I probably...
I also got my feet.
Go ahead, Karen.
I was going to say, also, on that weekend, we had not only the pictures, but I also obtained and was... videotaping it, and I have live feed on it as well. So that's been put through also into Alfred Laminar Weber too, which we've given probably about 6 hours of witness what we had seen. My also thing is that in New Zealand, there's different things like Keshi New Zealand, which we know is these are transmitter plants that actually tap into some of this energy and AI. And also with the sentient black goo, a lot of the waters have been affected, which is obviously affecting most people's way of, cognitively thinking to start with. And so that's where I come in, the scalar technology as well. I'm also a radionics specialist, which is a scalar technologist as well, using the SCIO or QXCI machine, which is based on the plasma AI technology to start with. And that was developed by Dr. Bill Nelson. So I've done sessions for people as I do remotely around the globe. And that's what I do in assisting people to get them alkalized and to get this new sort of, we're hoping will be quite proactive. I'll be getting some shortly to do myself, but it's called Salmeic, which is an ammonium chloride. And Patty's got obviously more technical stuff, but basically the idea is to repair the triple strand DNA. And so most people, again, like a battery, they've got a negative polarity, and this can do the repair. One of the things that we know through the Human Genome Project and stuff is it's been altered through a project called the Panther Project. And this human genome has been pre-programming death into people, stuff through the vaccines, through the foods, through the GMOs, all sorts of things, chemtrails, Morgellons, to these nanobots. And the nanobots actually look like miniature little archaeons. One of the things that we noticed on the Karen is it looks like there might be some, again, chipping at a nanobot level, and they've got the logos or the sigils. So we've actually got that far that we're into the investigation, which is really needs to be stopped, what's going on there. And I know that there were some people trying to get me very heavily involved with these organizations, Dr. Tony Minervino, which ended up trying to set me up and trying to actually get me arrested for bringing through forth some of this truth. And some of the stuff, Dr. Cornelius Van Dorp, who was actually on the screen actually teaching with Kashi in some of the research I went back looking at 6 months. One of the things you'd be probably interested to know, too, is that at the Kashi Institute, Suzanne Alexander was actually on site there, and there was virtually no one in there other than a couple people. There was no Magravs machines being done. None had been produced. She talked with people affiliated, the son of the policeman. There was no 1,000 machines there. So, you know, a lot of people, he's being moved through. There's a lot of stuff to do with CERN. This has to do with Dr. Schwan Haus and stuff, too, and what's going on shutting down the IMF. A lot of that is based on the women using the DNA. That is the banking. It's taking, like, Cynthia Marie Brewer or any woman that was tribal and selling the DNA off-planet for colonization. That has got to be stopped. We have got to shut this all down and look at coming back to tribal law. You know, looking at, you know, that love. And, so that was one of the things basis, I wanted to bring forward.
At the basis.
People don't realize. People
got to say, look at what's going on out there. Do you want them to continue to doing this? If the answer to that is no, then say no. Because going along with everything and feeding into their paranoid tail wags the dog stuff that you see on the news and all of that, you're feeding them your energy. You got to say no. That, on a global scale, we can manifest change.
Mm-hmm.
But we're only at like 46% now or 47%, something like that, global. We need to get more people on board with the truth to manifest this positive timeline and make it happen. That's why they're pushing so hard, took over all the media, and they're throwing all this stuff out there. This is in our hands. People got to wake up. That's what we're trying to do, get people awake and aware of what is going on and say, no, we are not going to do this. We're not going to hate. We're not going to do any war anymore. We're not going to have governments anymore, because that is a control matrix which we simply do not need.
Well, exactly. I think that nearly everything on the planet, any kind of institution, is all hierarchical control structures. You know, medicine, yep, controlled by psychopaths. Politics, yep, controlled by psychopaths.
Yep.
Business community, yep, controlled by psychopaths. The mainstream media, yep, controlled by psychopaths. So it's kind of like, hey, anybody who ever teaches you anything, tells you to do anything, or tries to help you run your life or actually structure society in any way is actually some kind of gun.
The hierarchy setup comes from the Dracos.
Yeah, psychopaths.
Yeah.
And you got to bear in mind, the Dracos and the Dracos hybrids, they have no remorse. They have no real actual emotions or ability to actually – I mean, they're almost autistic in that way. They have no emotions. They have no remorse. And they don't care about the damage they do. They have a goal, and they're going to do whatever it takes to do the goal, no matter what happens in the process.
Well, it's just that they're reckless, right? It's something that happens to you when you don't have a soul and don't have a conscience. You don't care about the consequences of your actions to other people. It's only when your consequences affect you that you actually care, right? So the reason why so many of the people who, you know, in brackets and inverted commas, people who are running the show in the planet today, the reason why they can do what they do is because they don't care. All right? And the ordinary people don't understand this. But why would somebody who's a ruthless criminal sociopath with more money and power than God try to get more money and power for themselves? It just doesn't make any sense. I'd never do such a thing. Yes, because you've got a conscience that can keep you awake at night. All right? They don't. They just go to sleep. It's just an instant, like, head hits the pillow. Kaboom!
You know what would be a big help? The Bugatti Mountains, okay, there's a 3D chamber in there that you have to be almost completely at the fifth level energy and spiritually connected with the truth to even get through the doorway. But guess what? There's a recording of Earth from day one of humans coming here to now. A full recording of the truth is in there. We need to get that on every television station around the planet.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Because that would shut this whole mess down immediately.
Well, yeah, and I have really, really great difficulty thinking about solutions which is like, if we did all this great big one wonderful thing, you know, because those solutions never wind up getting implemented because the people who tell them are usually people who think that somebody else should do them instead of trying to implement them themselves, and nobody ever winds up getting around to it, essentially. Because when you have great ideas, I found that the great idea that comes to you basically gets transmitted into your mind from whatever plane of existence, it's only you that received it, and so you have the obligation to will that idea into existence. Other people, on the other hand, they don't try to will their ideas into existence, and they expect that somebody else is going to do it, and what a surprise, nobody ever does.
I put the whole package together, the houses, the communities, everything. That's a solution to the whole entire mess, and I put that out there in the public domain to everybody. The solution is now out there, okay? The money to do it, no. And the major factor is, in order to make it a reality, you have to take the entire patent office and flush it down the toilet. And that is a problem, because I'd be walking all over everybody's patents. And you got to understand, all this really good technology that's actually a fix for the massive, multifaceted mess we are in right now, they know all this technology, and they took out their own patents. And if they didn't, if a person had the patent, they'll kill the person and then take the patent. You understand? So if you try and do this, they'll put you in jail for patent infringement.
Yeah, and they can tell who's doing it because I've got patent recognition system software in the cameras.
Are the solutions out there? Yes. But we as a species have got to say we have had enough. We're going to fix this and make it happen. And just take the power away from these people. You got to understand, as of September 2013, the group that was behind us, the Tudor group, the Queen Elizabeth royal group, and the Catholic Church, okay, that Stardust, which has the treaty that was signed in 640 BC that put them in charge, expired September of 2013. Currently, the only thing keeping them in power in the United States is the fact that they have voter registrations that amount to more than 50% of the population on the continent. That's it. That's the only thing keeping the corporation in power on the American, you know, the whole North and South American continent. People got to disconnect from that whole system. Go and revoke your voter registration. That's why, and they know this is coming. That's why Obama wants to lower the voting age to 16 and allow the Mexicans and everything that have come in illegal to vote. That's why he's giving them free licenses. He sees this coming already. He knows what we need to do, and he's trying to cut us off at the pass.
That's another thing that I found about going up against psychos is that they're always really devious, you know? Like, they think of stuff before anybody else tries to think of it, or rather, if somebody does think of it, they steal the idea and then invert it and then subvert it and then implement it.
The Border Patrol is up in arms because Obama's busing entire busloads, 10 busloads a day of people from South America into the United States, giving them licenses and everything else and the ability to vote, register to vote to keep him above the 50%.
Which is what Justin Trudeau is doing.
So it's like an election bribe.
Justin Trudeau is doing the same thing up.
Nothing on the elections is valid anyway. It's all done by a hybridized, cybernated child's brain that they injected his prefrontal cortex to kill it, and they wired him up to a computer. That does all the voting. That's why we have all these glitches where, like in Florida, the entire voter registration included everybody that was standing in cemeteries at one point. These are glitches in the system that they, over time, have gradually working out the problems. But
what they didn't glitch in the system is making sure that everybody who has a criminal conviction who kind of doesn't like authoritarian government as a result, because they've actually seen what it feels like to live in one, they get knocked off the voting form so they can't vote. Also, if you're black, you get knocked off the voting form so you can't vote. Or at least this is the case than it was during George Bush's 2000 election, where so many African Americans were disenfranchised that it actually influenced the vote. And conveniently, though, the people in Florida lost all the voting forms and everything like that. Or was it Jeb Bush, the governor, saying, no, we're not going to allow a recount. I mean, why would we want to do that? It's only hinging the entire US presidency between Al Gore, the climate change salesman, and George Bush, the Unocal oil company executive, you know?
It's irrelevant. The only people who ever sit in the White House are the CEOs who have been primed for that seat by the Queen of England way back. I mean, it's already pre-decided.
Well, they're all related.
A really good dog and pony show. And they you have the Republicans and Democrats, but even that's all just a dog and pony show. None of it's real.
Yes, wag the dog.
Oh, I disagree that none of it's real. At least 2% least 2% of it's real. You know, like for example, the 2% of the vote that gets garnered by the independent candidates who aren't financed by Monsanto and Birdseye and Coke and Pepsi and Halliburton and BP and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
I'm just taking a stab. Taking a stab in the dark here. You know?
It's what you how you define real, I guess.
Well, it's just like the other day I said in a video that the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is going to allow tobacco companies to sue New Zealand for like passing anti-smoking legislation for their imaginary lost profits. And a guy says to me, "But that's 100% bullshit." And I go, "Wait, hold on a second. Have you read the TPPA, bro?" "Well, no. Then how come you can say it's 100% bullshit? Why isn't it like 12% bullshit or 92% bullshit?"
Okay. Let me take this out of context for a minute. That you just gave me one major issue, smoking. Okay. Here's the premise: that smoking causes cancer. Guess what? Smoking does not cause cancer. And cancer among smokers prior to them playing with the bomb was 2% worldwide in males between the age of 97 and older, and that is it.
Yeah.
The reason why smoking now causes cancer is because the government paid the smoking industry, which is why it's still in business, mind you, to take the hit on that. Because guess what? The tobacco that's in the fields and everything are bioaccumulating all the radioactive content that they've been throwing all over everybody. It's
as
the radioactive
the
content in the tobacco that causes cancer.
Exactly. It's like YouTube.
Leukemia, all of them.
Yeah.
It's all caused by radioactive content.
So it's not entirely dissimilar from YouTube trolling sections. You know, it's not YouTube that'll give you cancer. It's the content.
Right.
And depending on what kind of, what the content is, what fissionable content it is, it depends on what type of cancer you get. If it's strontium, it goes into your bones and it gives you leukemia. If it's plutonium, it goes to your reproductive organs and your prostate. If it's uranium, it hits you in your
and uranus?
Your colon and your digestive tract and some of your organs. Plus, you've got the stuff you're breathing in actively that hits your lungs, breasts, all that. All of it is cancer in its entirety is radioactive content. All facets of it. And guess what? There's seven different ways you can just do away with it. And all seven of them, they made illegal because they're making all kinds of money off of cancer in a multitude of ways.
Oh, yeah. Cancer's big business, especially in New Zealand. We have I believe it was a 1 in 2, between a 1 in 2 and 1 in 1 cancer rate. That means if you're born in New Zealand today, you are statistically unlikely to live your life free of cancer. Right? And, of course, when somebody comes in to, let's say, the Alan Smith case, for example, he had hairy cell leukemia and one of the worst cases of swine flu this country's ever seen, right? It was back in the day. And he gave himself intravenous vitamin C, or rather, they had to force the hospital. They had to hire a lawyer to threaten to sue the hospital if they didn't give him intravenous vitamin C, which was reasonably cheap, killed his hairy cell leukemia, killed his swine flu, and he's still alive today. And did the doctors go, wow, that stuff actually works. Maybe we should use it on other patients because it actually works. It's not prohibitively expensive. And quite frankly, it doesn't do any harm to any of the patients. Should we do that? Well, they go, nah, bro. Look. I have 100,000.
When they claim to cure it, how do they claim to cure it? They throw more radioactive content in you.
Yeah. So it's like, here's the three ways of getting cancer. Getting radiation, getting chemicals, or, getting some kind of infection put into your bloodstream via a vaccine or a shot of some description. So naturally, when you go into hospital now, they go, okay, bro, we've only got three options to help you save you from this cancer. We're either going to irradiate you, pump you full of chemicals, or give you a couple of shots and everything like that full of cancer viruses. How do you like that, son? You're like, well, he's the doctor. He's wearing a white lab coat. He must know more than me.
Do you know what cancer is? Do you know what cancer actually is?
It's a virus.
No. Your 21st chromosome is your repair chromosome. And if you break that, and it tries to do a repair with bogus instructions, it starts building shit with no instructions, and it doesn't ever shut off. That's cancer.
Not entirely dissimilar from the... I was going to say Donald Trump, but, just building stuff, doesn't have permits. Yeah. Fuck it, bro.
That's why they... chemotherapy, by throwing more radioactive content into your body, they completely stop your 21st chromosome from doing any repairs at all, ever again.
Yeah, so it destroys your immune system and you are screwed.
Not your immune system, your body's ability to repair things at the DNA level. That's what chemotherapy does.
Yeah,
it completely annihilates your 21st chromosome's operating system.
And it's just a money-making scheme. Like in New Zealand, for example, it's not illegal for doctors to get paid by the pharmaceutical industry to kill people with cancer medication. Like, you can get up to $100,000 a year in kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry. Hey, I've got cancer! Well, boy, do I have a deal for you. And there was even in the States as well, some dude actually, he got sued, I think, because he recommended 84 patients, if I remember correctly, who didn't have cancer to go get cancer treatments, and the cancer treatments killed them. Because he was getting paid for each cancer treatment that he sold.
Here's the issue that people need to really understand. The New World Order Group runs the American Medical Association. It runs the entire federal education system as well. So, I mean, you go all the way back to the roots of this thing, they're running it, and they're profiting from it. So any game plan they put out there is bogus from the word go. The whole premise behind it is bogus. All called things like the Carnegie Fund and that do all this donation and everything, they're all backed by the New World Order. And they'll only fund things that are going to work with their game plan. That's why specialization in colleges and everything, because if you specialize in anything, you don't get the holistic view of the whole of it to see what they're doing. So they want you to specialize. They don't want you having a global look at anything, because the picture becomes really, really clear.
Well, they'd prefer you to be blind, deaf, and incredibly dumb.
I mean, 90%, I'd say 76% of what's in all your schools and college textbooks is just garbage or misrepresentation. I quit school in 10th grade because I at that point, I was like, oh, this is just so much garbage. I've had enough. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I wish I'd quit school earlier instead of repeating my last year of school and then going to university and learning nothing for 2 years and not making any videos for 2 years. Because once I quit, in 2 years, I made 700 videos of my own accord, you know?
Now here's the thing. Back then, the military, if you didn't have a high school diploma, they wouldn't take you. But they did test me anyway. And then they said I could have any field I wanted because my score was 176.
Have you noticed
back then
that people who don't do well in school are often don't do well in school because the school works so easy for them because they're so much smarter than their teachers and all the students around you that it's literally a waste of their time being there, and they could basically just be given free rein. It's like, go walk the streets, bro. You probably learn a hell of a lot more just by looking at anything that you want to than by sitting here being force-fed the stuff that we're digging up.
See, I have a problem with that whole Mensa thing, because guess what? You know what Mensa is?
A woman's cycle every month.
Very good. But that whole Mensa program, these supposedly hyper-intelligent kids, Mensa is based on the ability of children who have been very well programmed to perfectly memorize the falsehoods. That's what that test is about.
Yeah, it's a club of conformers.
Well, I heard the Greek, who's on American Freedom Radio once a week, say that the most degrading thing you can do to somebody is give them a grade.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, it comes down to that whole, it's hierarchical.
Specializations for insects.
I don't like hierarchy. Okay, so let's say you take the New Zealand media circuit or whatever, and when it comes to the people who are actually doing the videos, doing the radio, and not being completely full of crap and financed by corporate sponsors and being a dick, there's me, and basically only me, right? However, that doesn't make me better than everybody, and that doesn't mean that the bloggers and everything else who contribute to the sphere of alternative media in New Zealand have no value. So I get them on the show, and I make sure like that, okay? Because I'm non-hierarchical. I don't like anybody, even me, being up above other people and looking down and controlling them and expecting you to respect me and so on and so forth. I'd rather people don't respect me, because that way they'd be suspicious of the things that I say, and if I'm wrong on the things that I say, their suspicion will save them from being wrong too, right? Somebody said to me the other day, Vinny, I believe everything you say. And I go, well, that means you must be pretty freaking stupid, son, because even I don't believe everything I say, all right? There's a whole bunch of things that I've said, and then a month or two later, I'll look into it and go, hey, I was wrong, right? I think the smarter you are, the more you realize how wrong you are on a daily basis. And people who are obsessed with hierarchy, who are obsessed with control, who are obsessed with being correct, don't think that way.
All right, let me take a step back here and throw this at you. Understand this. The plasma AI, as brought here by the Archons, cannot cope with the fact that every leaf on every tree does not grow in exactly the same pattern. And it plays backwards and forwards in time. When it runs photosynthesis, it defies logic. Now throw that onto humans and what the plasma AI thinks about humans. That's why the whole classroom concept to standardize and get every student to be exactly the same. I mean, this is how far deep it goes. And the whole thing with the Archons crashing that spacecraft at Roswell was to give us binary computer chips, okay, to have the basis of our entire knowledge system changed from, a triad or six-point Merkaba system to binary, two. Male, female, and everybody the same. And that's what they've been pushing forever. So I don't want everybody to think the same either. I put this information out there. I say, look at the information and then go look inside yourself and do your own research and find your own path.
Yeah, that's something I said. Like, you can't actually rely on anyone to tell you what the truth is. Unless you've been there and can see it with your own senses, you won't really know the truth. And so that's why you always have to find it out for yourself before you start, you know, believing it. In fact, I'm starting to wonder about this concept of belief. In the first place,
quantum mechanics says nobody two people can be exactly the same anyways, because everybody's experience changes what's in front of them just by observing it. So it's a physical impossibility.
I'd like to hear what Vinny was going to say.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was saying because I got interrupted.
I know, Pat.
Ah! That's what it was. The concept, the difference between belief and knowing. All right? If you don't know something, then you believe it. if you believe something, but you actually know it and can prove it for a fact, you don't believe it anymore. You know it, right? And I was just thinking about this concept that beliefs are only something you hold if you don't have the knowledge to prove them to be true.
Mm-hmm. There's right? a problem, and they count on that problem because guess what? Belief causes manifestation.
So let's say, for example, I believed it was about to rain, right? My instinct told me, and this is one time that actually really happened to me. It was clear blue sky, and my brain just tells me, Vinny, it's going to rain. Take the washing in before you go upstairs. And I argue with myself, and I go, nah, bro, I'm too tired. I just want to go upstairs and sit down in front of the TV. Then as soon as I get upstairs, close the door and sit down, the rain starts and my washing gets drenched, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking about this concept like we're capable of downloading information, we're capable of interpreting these signals and things like that. However, sometimes we don't know for a fact why we're being told these things, why we do that. And I found that in the fullness of time, with a little bit of patience, you'll find the reasons. Another example, I think, was one time when I was working with a psychopath down in South Auckland here. And I was getting into my car one day, just at home. For some reason, my brain told me, get into the car really quickly, right? Key in the lock, unlock it, lift the handle, open the door, get in the car, close the door, put the key in the ignition, put it in reverse, take the handbrake off and start driving, right? And I did it really quickly, and I was in, and I was away. And it was like nearly a couple of weeks later that I found out why I'd been told by whatever told me to do that. And that was when I was ambushing this psycho with a camera, and my mate told me to run for the car, put the key in the door, turned it, lift the handle and open the door, got in, turned the key in the ignition, undid the handbrake, opened the passenger door for my mate to jump in, and then we were gone, right? We get told things before we know the importance of what we're being told. That's one of the greatest lessons that I've ever actually really had to learn in my life, is you really have to listen to your instincts. And sometimes you don't know why you're listening to them, but just do it anyway, and reality will come to you in the fullness of time.
And let me couch that in the science of it. You got to watch the movie Avatar to really understand this. You are an avatar driving a homo avatar simian body here in school. Your uplink is partially obscured because of what they've done to us at the genetic level. But, yeah, that data can come down the thing and tell you to do things, and you best listen to it, because that's your true self who's standing outside the time stream and knows what's going to happen.
We're being sent future signals from our own self, right?
You're actually a globe of energy sitting in a cradle down in this classroom. You're nothing but energy, really, outside the time stream, outside, you know. So your time down here is both, it can go on forever, but it's also zero amount of time for your true self. That sounds like a paradox, but that's the truth of it.
Well, in my experience, in order to qualify something as the truth, it has to have some kind of cosmic irony to it. So, yeah, I totally get that, you know. Have you noticed how that happens? You know, everything that's true is completely ironic. Like, let's say, for example, politicians, they're there to help you and lead your country, or at least that's what they say. So obviously they're there to not help you and destroy your country, isn't it? That sounds ironic. Well, therefore, it's probably true.
The entire point of the Tower of Babel was to make every word that comes out your mouth be virtually, if you go into cymetics and everything else and the process of intent, versus what comes out your mouth, they're exactly opposite. That was the entire point of the Tower of Babel.
Vibration.
Changing everybody's language.
Oh, like trying to tell the truth on radio, but you wind up just confusing people and you get accused of being a shill and a liar.
to point out the big farce of this, you go to every school and every college, what is the only course where the teachers don't learn anything new, don't take any new research or anything in, and everything goes back history-wise. What is it? It's language. It's English. Mm-hmm. There is nothing new there.
Oh, I doubt that. New words get created all the time, and the dictionary is already being
updated. That's the field of study where you do not have anything new ever entering the picture. In fact, they're so stuck in the mud, if you try and deviate, they drag you back and throw more bogus stuff from the past, which was wrong to start with, into the equation.
I think that lies have a great power. And I think this is, again, the great irony is people think that truth has power. No, it doesn't. Lies have a hell of a lot more power than truth. Here's how I know.
Anything. It doesn't matter if it's lies or not. Belief.
Yeah. Well, people believe in lies.
Manifest.
Right?
Belief causes manifestation.
Yeah. Let me see. How can I relay that to something that happened in my life, the belief and the manifestation?
Whether it's true or not.
I don't know. I think action... Action is often the key to manifestation, but you also have to kind of listen to yourself, right? But there's the immaterial that's out there, and a lot of people are actually able to, you know, kind of go in congruence with this. They're able to manipulate it. They're able to download things. I'm not yet able to do that. I'm able to see and think about things before they happen, and then when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'll know what I was thinking yesterday, because I'm having this conversation with this person today, where that information I was thinking about yesterday has now suddenly become very pertinent, right? You ever had that? You have a conversation with yourself a day before, you have a conversation with somebody else, and you realize why you were having that conversation with yourself to prepare you for this.
But look at all religions. All religions are based on facts? No. Matter of fact, most all religious texts are self-contradictory. They're based on belief.
Yeah.
If they can make you believe something, they can make you manifest it and then force it to be true, whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
That's control.
That's what I was thinking about today, actually. The word proselytize is to try and convince somebody or convert somebody over to your belief system, right? And I was having a conversation with a listener today. I mean, I did the status about who else wishes it wasn't impossible for the average person to ever buy their own home in their own country, you know? Who else wishes that was the case, right? And one person was talking to me about how they've had a house for a while and they live in the States and they're now in a condo and what have you. And I sort of was talking about to her about taking care of yourself, right? That was kind of her whole idea of what it is behind what she's saying. However, I was cognizant of the fact that it's about take it or leave it. You know how some people are willing to listen to you, some people aren't? So if you tell them that there's a financial scam and the housing crisis and what have you, the vast majority of people will just laugh at you, call you a conspiracy theorist, and then lose their home in a bankruptcy and commit suicide later on, you know? And you go, oh, well, sorry, bro, I tried. You know, and that's what it is. Because I figured out very early on, when I'm telling people this stuff, they're either going to take it or they're going to leave it. And the real problem that I figured out was that I was emotionally invested in whether or not they took my advice. I no longer am.
Me neither. Because it wasn't part of the job I was sent down here, although, because I'm a former graduate, and I came here again, I volunteered to dig into everything they're in, put it out there, mostly to the council and everything, not to the public, although I've done the public. That's not part of my job. So basically, I'll put the information out there, take the information, don't take it, I don't really care. I'm not going to argue with these folks anymore. You know what I mean? And NASA put so many red herrings out there now that it's mind-boggling. It's divide and conquer. If you can't have everybody get together on their own, not taking in data from the outside, but looking inside themselves to discern the truth and form a coherent front to get us out of this, then, you know, I mean, because that's what has to happen. And I can't force that on you. You have to take that step yourself. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force them to drink.
You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
Yeah.
Or you can lead a person to what they ought to do, but you can't make them think.
I have this great a desire to help people, right? To help people, yep. to the sort of obligation, right? I'm here right. on this planet to help people be heard and so on and so forth. And I'm also there to say a big fuck you to all the people who are so selfish that they think that helping other people is not only a waste of time, but it's actually the opposite of what they should be doing, and they should only ever help themselves, right? And not care right. about anyone else. And to those people, I'd say, did you give birth to yourself? No? Did you learn how to tie your own shoelaces all by yourself? You figured that out? Did you ever feed yourself as an infant? No? Well, then somebody's been helping you out, and they are the very reason why you are alive. And people have this really, really terrible, terrible habit of destroying their own life by losing the appreciation for the things that are keeping them alive. You ever notice that?
It's even worse than that. That is the very track that means you're never going to graduate here and go home. That's the very same mouse wheel. And as long as you stay in that mental process, you're never going to graduate. You're just going to keep getting recycled back into a new fetus. And yeah, you can go this circle all, you know, forever. And that's why we have the population increase. There's always some new kids being built. You know, being born on the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th level, doesn't matter, up the tree of life, outside the time stream, everyone up there, they don't all come here to Earth, they come to all, there's a lot of other, you know, planets, there's millions of planets in the Milky Way galaxy, but everybody born 5th level or higher has to come down for this class. And there's more being created all the time, that's why we're having a population explosion. It's not only here. But the Dracos control more than 2,000 worlds from behind the scenes and have set up the same sort of class. You know, this wheel. That's why now we've become so populated that we're no longer, we're too many for them to control. That's what Agenda 21 is about. They want to get us back down to a controllable size population.
Yeah, kind of like how my friend Will... You know, let her chickens shag themselves silly for a while until there's just far too many of them, and then she just does and then she's now got a food on.
Yep. And, time to farm. Time to harvest.
Yep, you know, that's how they treat us.
And the tall whites eat us like, you know, this it's the same process of us growing cows to eat for meat. That, you know, the Dracos, you know, have us, and when we die off in wars and all that, that's produce that goes to the tall whites as produce.
I could just imagine, like, you know, in a tall white aliens supermarket, you know, just going through the produce aisle, and there's some dude in the freezer that, you know, just stuck with his hands on the glass. You know, that fresh stuff.
Oh, there's photos and records of everything when they broke in. And through, and you know, the Dulce base, that illegal base. I mean, now that program, that this is the mind-boggling thing. That program did not get shut down, although they had to give out concessions and everything for doing what they were doing illegally. They actually made that base bigger, and they're still doing it. Only now they're doing it in a sanctioned way in exchange for more technology. So that program did not get shut down. That, you know, Phil Schneider and all that got involved with them, you know, stealing kids and, you know, that's where most of your your missing kids go into that. You know, they go to Dulce, their food.
Well, I was going to say a lot of them are, look, there's a huge pedophile ring that's running in America, and in fact, all the way around the world, and like. I think there's like hundreds of thousands of children that go missing every year and are never seen again.
Some of it goes to the rituals for the Catholic Church because those rituals help to booster the energy from Satan.
There's over a million people go missing every year, according to the FBI stats, that they do not publish. And the only people that handle those statistics is the Special Affairs Division of the FBI.
And there's multitudes of programs. The X-39 drone that's flying off of the U.S. aircraft carriers right now, they take child brains, remove the prefrontal cortex, wire it into a computer. Those drones, armed drones, do not have a human in the loop anymore. But those child brains are the central computer of them. They give them instructions, and they just fly off and do it.
Okay, guys, well, we come to the end of the show today. We only have about a minute left, so I would love if you guys have any websites or something like that that you can put out. Just remind the audience of your name and where people can contact you. Patty, let's start with you.
Patty L. Brassard on Facebook. I put all the data out there. Key thing is, Sal Almanac, repair your third spiral, wake up.
You know, Karen? And
mine's at clanmother13, that's with a K, at gmail.com. And also I'm called Karen Ann McDonald on Facebook and called, C-A-L-L-E-D, Karen Mack. And that's on Skype, and I'm still doing sessions with people. And just to let you know, we did leave Dark City Radio, so this is what we're doing now. And seeing people, like, for appointments this way.
Nice.
For help.
And Sergeant Dan.
Oh, I just want all your information to Patty or Karen, because I don't have a website, and I don't. About my email.
All right, well, I guess that sorts that one out. Nice, wrapped up in a neat little package. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you don't support me, I'm not going to be able to broadcast, so go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and please consider starting up a regular monthly donation, only a few dollars a month. It really, really helps me out, helps to lower those anxiety levels when I'm constantly stressing about where the hell my next feed is coming from. And we just got a letter in the mail from our landlords and say in New Zealand, in a place where you can't even afford to own your own home, they're increasing the rents as well. Isn't that just fabulous? So please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate today. We'll see you again sometime, folks.